Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this song, which reminds us that you alone are praiseworthy. God, our hearts are stirred. Many of us are deeply moved by the thought of a day that's coming when Jesus Christ returns and we will see you face to face. God, until that time, strengthen our hearts. Father, thank you that you are praiseworthy. The world is warring against us. Our flesh deceives us. Our minds at times fail us. And yet, God, you are worthy. And we thank you for that reminder and song today. We trust that once again, you will teach us from your word and stir up within us the desire to live wholly for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I would love to just sit in that moment. I love the idea of thinking of a time that comes when we will be worshiping God without distraction, without any of the sin stain that exists in this world. And thank you for pausing there with me. My name is Jonas Bundy, one of the pastors here, and I want to reintroduce myself. I've been on sabbatical for about 8 weeks, doing the hard work of rest, and those things don't often go together, but about 2 weeks in, I realized they do. I had the twitches and the like, what am I supposed to be doing? And God was very faithful to that and very thankful to work in a church that believes in having a healthy team and that we together can be something unique in the eyes of God. And I also feel the need to reintroduce myself because my friend on the elder board, Stan, encouraged me to pick up a visitor packet. And I said, thanks, Stan, I wrote it, you know, and that was fun. It was kind of like on Monday when I walked into the office, and ladies at the office were like, wow, you're back. It was so quiet while you were gone. I don't know what that means. I'm thankful, you know, and my wife and I had the privilege this summer, about 2 weeks with the sabbatical left, we knew we wanted to reengage, so we went to a family camp, and we served the children of this camp. And it was amazing. It was our second year doing it, and I was so excited, enthusiastic on Thursday night to get to dinner, and I started recognizing kids, and I go up to this one little boy, and I couldn't remember his name, which drove me crazy, but I'm like, hey, man, I remember you from last year, and tell me your name, and he tells me his name, and I'm like, man, we had so much fun last year, and then as only a child can do, he became very honest for a moment, and he looked at me, and he said, I don't remember you. And it was wonderful. It sounds terrible, but it was confusing. But it was wonderful because it just reminded me that at the end of the day, what we want people to remember is Jesus. You know? And so if that's what we remember and that's what we are exposed to today, this will be worth it. And that's what I hope for you. And in light of that, we have some friends who are coming down with Bibles. We believe that God has revealed himself through his word. So if you don't have a copy of the scriptures with you or a device to look at it on, I would encourage you, take a copy of the scriptures, write in it, make it yours, just sit in it and soak and allow the word of God to change you. If you are on your device, I would encourage you, I don't know if you've tried this before, but a lot of these apps now have an audio Bible that you can listen to, and it's just a great tool to sit under the reading of the scriptures and to allow God to stir in your heart. I feel very fortunate today to be continuing in our study in Romans chapter 12. Last week, Pastor Andy set us up really great, and there were a couple of things, Andy, that I'm very grateful for and thankful, you know, coming into this. One was he gave us this image of a vice grip. I don't know if you remember that, but he talks about how, like, it feels like times the world is like a vice grip squeezing on you, and that was a great metaphor for my head. And then he did this thing, and I'm going to school, y'all. Someday I'm going to do this to you, too. We're at the end of the service. Remember we had, like, three cards? He's like, hey, does anybody want one? And then he said at the end, like, and the rest of you can pick one up in the back. Was awesome. I mean, I want to learn from you, this stuff. But I would encourage you, if you did not pick one of those up, maybe you weren't here last week or you just didn't bother, please pick one up because in it are all these declared truths from the Word of God about who you are if you are in Christ. And I think that's really important as we continue in Romans 12 because the first 11 chapters for you grammar people, both of you that really like grammar, the first 11 chapters are in the indicative mood. It's all these statements of here's what's true, here's what's true, here's what's true. And it's this amazing story of a God who is so generous, pouring out his grace upon some of the most undeserving sinners. It's just beautiful landscape, 11 chapters. And then in 12:1, he says, therefore. And it moves from indicative to imperative. It moves to command. And if you remember from last week, there were two commands. There was a negative. It said, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And in both cases, they're passive imperatives, which means, and this is building up to the next few verses, but I want you to hear this. Something's acting on you. And so if you're feeling the vice grip cranking down on you, that's by design. The world has a pattern. And if you do nothing, you will become a fully formed human being in the eyes of the world. That's what's going to happen. But God, because of his grace, has reached out to you and offered you a relationship with him. And if you trust Christ, then he wants to partner with you to be transformed, to push back against the mold, that you might become more and more like Christ. And we're going to see today further outlooking of that. But I want you to hear that because that's really critical. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you're being invited to not just be pushed in, to be vice gripped on and formed into the mold, but to press back by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life through the grace that's been given to you that you might grow in Christ and become who he wants you to become. And it's a beautiful invitation. Friends, it all starts right there. It's a response to the grace that you've been given. This is not an outworking. It's not a try harder plan. Please don't. Surrender to Christ. And in surrendering to Christ and receiving this grace that he's pouring out into you, then respond like this. And it becomes really beautiful. Well, in Romans chapter 12, I want you to hear these verses beginning in verse 3. If you received one of the Bibles we passed out, it's on page 975. I'm reading along right here with you. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, pause for just a minute. It all starts with grace. And it's a gift that's offered to each one of you who can hear my voice. And it is received personally, and we're going to see that it's worked out in community. But it starts with grace. Paul had so much he could have said, but he started there, and I want you to hear it again. For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. These are the words of God. And as I'm talking, if you start to feel distracted, I would encourage you to put your eyes back in the text and listen to what God might be teaching you here. I want to invite you with the summary statement that we would respond to grace by serving others honestly with a one-body mindset, and it starts by being honest about you. Watch here in the text. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. I don't know about you, but as I was reading in some of the commentaries and the expressions of this, one of the things that really bubbled to the surface was, for a lot of us, we can, in our personal study, really feel like we've got this whole living for Jesus thing down. We memorize a verse in our personal study, or we do something, and we go like, I got this. And then we walk out the door and realize, I don't got this. And that's like God's training ground, and he's inviting you to the body of Christ, and in a sort of this I don't got this way of thinking, he's saying, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. You know, Paul's writing from the city of Corinth, and there were people in Corinth, actually, that got really excited about these miraculous movements of the Spirit, and they were all seeking it. They all wanted to be like signs and wonders people, and he's saying, like, guys, hold on. You know, walk by the Spirit, but don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. And I want to respond, you know, give you an opportunity to think about this. We're invited to genuinely think sober about who we are. A sober self-assessment in accordance to the faith that's been distributed to you. I appreciated what Gabelin said. He said, grasping the nature of one's spiritual gift and having confidence to exercise it rightly. I was confused by this idea that in accordance with the faith that God has contributed to each of you, that we're to think this way. And here's where I come to, and part of what confused me, and I hope it's helpful to you as I explain where I ended up. When I heard that, the grace that's been distributed to you, in my mind were Jesus' parables about the guy with the talents. One guy gets one, one guy gets three, one guy gets five, right? And the guy with one goes, I'm afraid of my master, I'm gonna bury it. Because if I don't do something with it, he's not a good guy. And the one takes three and he invests it and he uses it and five, et cetera, and he produces this great outcome. And sure enough, for the guy who squandered the talent that was given to him, there was judgment for him. And so when I read that about the dispensing of God's grace, that's in my forefront. And what I want to do is I want to move that back to the background just a little bit and talk to you a little bit about the grace that has been generally given to every believer in Jesus Christ. Friends, there is a faith which has been handed down for more than 2,000 years. And the oldest sentiment or creed of that we find is in 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus Christ died for your sins, and on the third day, he rose again. You can go back and read 1 Corinthians 15. Make a little note there. It's beautiful. And so for the ages, the church has been reciting this faith and passing it down to faithful people who then pass it down, and we call that multiplying disciples or making disciples, and that's the business we're about. And so when you see the grace that's been contributed to each of you, I think that's the measuring stick that Paul's inviting us to here. But he knows one of the challenges is that there's two ditches as we're driving the car of faith that the enemy would love for us to veer into. The easiest one to see is the one that he announced here. He says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. I don't know about you, but I can't stand being around arrogant people. It really bugs me. And it bugs me way more when they're in the mirror looking back at me. You know, I mean, there's just days where it seems like I don't even need help. I'm just in the ditch. And it's humorous. It is. And you're going to see here in the outworking of gifts, it's almost like ironic, ridiculous, comedic mix of mess. You know, it's like, hey, I'm the best servant that there ever was. Well, the whole idea of a servant was somebody who doesn't seek status. So, no, you're not. You know, but the ditch of just incredible open pride is really dangerous to you as a follower of Jesus Christ. The man who had the most to brag about, Paul, did not. He began with grace. And then the other ditch that I think is just as dangerous but often overlooked, and especially in our culture where we're kind of an, aw, shucks, I'm not that good at that kind of thing, is that of false humility that really is just the other side of the coin of pride. And I feel some conviction there. No, I'm not that good at that. I shouldn't be doing that. And maybe you're just like the first guy I ever saw do this at a youth conference ever since I've been doing it. You know, your friends are like, oh, man, thanks so much. You're like, oh, stop it with one hand. And then on the other hand, you're like, come on. You know it's true. I'm in both ditches. And we get there, right? Like, and so if we're not careful, we think it's about us, and we're spending all this energy thinking about us. There's this beautiful quote that's been attributed to C.S. Lewis, but due to some extensive internet searching, you begin to find out it was actually Rick Warren that said it, and it's bumper sticker worthy. Listen to this. The guy's master with words. He said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. It's not over here in the ditch thinking, oh, shucks, not me. I'm not good at that, when you really are. You're lying, and that's pride. And it's not over here thinking, hey, guys, look how awesome I am, but it's actually somewhere in the middle of, like, I'm not really thinking about me. How can I help? So Rick Warren, humility is not thinking of less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Your energy is not about you. It's about what you can do for others because of what Christ has done for you. Now, these next words are not inspired, but I found them super helpful because I think Warren kind of got this idea from C.S. Lewis. And Lewis writes this. He says, don't imagine that if you meet a really humble man, he will be what most people call humble nowadays. He will not be a sort of greasy, smarmy person who is always telling you that, of course, he is nobody. Probably all you will think about him, who is truly humble, is that he seemed a cheerful, intelligent chap who took a real interest in what you said to him. If you do dislike him, it'll probably be because you feel a little bit envious of anyone who seems to enjoy life so easily. He will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all. So then, if you would like to acquire humility, I think, tell you the first step. The first step is to realize that you are proud. And a big step it is. At least nothing whatever can be done before it. If you think you are not conceited, it means that you are very conceited indeed. Friends, if we're going to respond to grace appropriately, we're going to have to be honest about who we are. And there's days in our lives where we're in the ditch over here thinking we're pretty awesome. And there's days in our lives when we're over here and we're just like, oh no, not me, I can't be that. And you're just lying to yourself and to the rest of the body, and we need you to jump in and help out. Because you really are a blessing. One of my heroes in my time at seminary was a research professor of theology. I forget all of the, you know, lots of labels. This guy was brilliant. And everybody who took his classes loved this man. His teaching was some of the best teaching I've ever sat on. No offense to anybody who's a teacher. It was just phenomenal. It's like he could take things that are super complex and make them simple, and you're just like, can you keep teaching? And so one of my classmates says to raise his hand, like, sir, could you just explain what you think about spiritual gifts? You seem to have the gift of teaching, you know, and this kind of thing. Describe it for me. He said, okay, but before I do, you need to know something. I am convinced, because of the word of God, that he has given us gifts for the benefit of the body. And we're going to see that here. Therefore, I teach. Because the body of Christ keeps inviting me back to teach. He said, you wouldn't believe how hard it is to prepare these lectures that you love so much. Because the students were kind of stroking his ego, you know, like, you're awesome, we love you. He's like, okay, fine, but seriously, it's hard work. And the day that you guys stop telling me to teach, I'm going fishing. That's my dream. Like, if left alone, I'm going, and they loved ocean fishing, not all this cool Minnesota lakes fishing. But, you know, it was so refreshing to hear somebody say that. I'm going to be honest about who I am. Yeah, you guys say thank you, so I'll be up here. But the day you stop inviting me back, I'm out. And there was something really beautiful about that, because he was honest, but he also had cultivated a one-body mindset. And that's my next point here, if you're following along on your outline and this note sheet. I want to encourage us to respond to grace by serving others honestly with a one-body mindset. This idea of you're cultivating one-body thinking. And this is really, really hard. You live in a culture that the vice grip that's being pressed into you is all about you. The vice grip that's pressing in on me is all about me. I want to get all I can all I get, sit on the can. Tell everybody about, you know, look at my can, what I did. You know, it's all about us. And in fact, we have entire media organizations and businesses who pattern that for you and who reward you for that kind of thinking with the posts you put on social media and other things. Like, they're giving you little dopamine shots saying, yeah, you. And we don't even realize it, and we're being formed. And the scriptures are inviting you to press back and say, hold on, it's not all about me. I need to think of myself with sober-mindedness, but really it's about one body. Look at the text, verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. I don't like this. This hurts my selfish ambition. This presses in on something I don't really like, because what it says is there's unity in diversity. Your gifts, but let me add too, and it's not just unity in diversity, but there's a sense of mutuality. I don't know if any of you guys have cousins or extended family member or, you know, God forbid, somebody else in the room, don't raise your hand. You know, if you'd be okay if they just weren't like real part of your inner circle. But what the scriptures are saying is that in the body of Christ, we actually need each other. Even when you don't feel like it. Even when that person frustrates the devil out of you. Which would actually be good if it frustrated the devil out of you and caused you to be more like Jesus. But you see what I'm saying? Like, we need each other. There's a mutuality here. And it started with grace. You didn't bring anything to the table. God did. And he's forming a new body. And in that new body, as a member of the body, you're being invited to serve the body, to strengthen the body, to build up the body of Christ. And there's unity there because of Jesus. There's diversity because we're all different. Thank you, Lord, that we're not all eyes and hands and feet. We're different. Timothy George writes this, and I think it's helpful because for me, I try to go back to, okay, but who's part of the body, right? I mean, is it just my small group? Because we've certainly got it all figured out. Is it just my core class or just this Bethel church? Or is it just the Free Church of America? Or who's in the body? And one of the creeds that I found really helpful is the Apostles' Creed. You know, that's kind of a nice summary statement. And the church through centuries has had to say, like, who's really following Jesus? And the labels shift and move a little bit. Even in my lifetime, evangelical, when it came out, was a phenomenal word. But it's been misused a little bit. I'm still a fan, but I'm having to correct a lot of thoughts about what it means to be evangelical. Come to the class at 4. We'll talk about it. You know, it used to be, I remember, like, but are you born again? So you're evangelical, but are you born again? Are you spirit-filled? Are you this? And, you know, all the labels. Are you following Jesus? Are you a member of his family? When we say that we believe in the Holy Christian or Catholic Church, we're confessing that Jesus Christ himself is the church's one foundation, that all who truly trust in him as Savior and Lord are by God's grace members of this church, and that the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. And we're invited to use our gifts diligently and faithfully to strengthen the body's unity and help it to flourish. Friends, praise God. We are not the only gospel preaching church in this town. Being on sabbatical gave me some freedom to go and hang out with some of my brothers and sisters in Christ from other slices and other in God's little Sunday school system here. And it is encouraging. And God is starting new churches. I believe it's a work of his Spirit. There are churches being planted up in our midst. And this text tells me that I can't too quickly move to competition, because as I read it, we just all started by grace. And I need them somehow. Now, I'm still a fan of arguing primary doctrine. Don't hear that. That's really important to me. Beyond primary doctrine, we need each other. Even when it doesn't feel like it. Even when the world's pressing in on us. Well, that whole one body piece was really brought to light to me this week. And the group earlier, like the group that prays for you before the church service, I shared some of what I was going to share with you, and they're like, I don't know if you should share that part. But I'm going to, because I think it's going to help you. I turned 40 this year, and I don't care to elaborate too much on what that's like, but here's what my friends told me would happen, and it's coming true. Your body doesn't respond like it used to certain things. And my friend who's 80, he's like, dude, wait till you double it, you know? Okay, thank you. Dear Lord, help me. I woke up on Monday morning with the worst pinky ache I've ever had in my life. I mean, it was terrible. That knuckle right there had a little red spot, and it hurt like, From that place, it's all fiery and bad. That's what it hurt like, okay? And for 2 or 3 days, I'm just working on it, and I'm not going to the doctor for a pinky problem. Right, guys? Okay, and so by day 3, I'm like, Lord, what gives? And so I did a little research. Like, okay, so if I get to, you know, maybe I should just cut it off, because, I mean, that's always an option. And here's what I learned. In medical journals, they've done studies, God bless them, that if you have to choose which digit of your fingers to cut off, you choose your pinky last. I don't know. I can tell you why. I learned. This is amazing stuff. You're welcome. This part's free. 30 to 50% of your opposing strength comes from that part of your hand. If you're ever faced with this, it's actually your non-dominant first finger. That's the one you want to get rid of, according to all the scientific journals. But can I just tell you, I have never thought about my pinky like I thought about my pinky this week. There's some pain there. You know, it's kind of alerting me, like, hey, you dummy, you slept on me, or I don't know what happened. You're old, you know, whatever. And it just reminded me, you know, That text tells me that I'm part of a body of Christ worldwide, and there are times when members of our body worldwide or even more locally kind of raise their hand and go like, I'm hurting. And can I just confess, I didn't notice you before. That's terrible. Or maybe I didn't notice it that way before. And so I just want to recommend to you who also have ailments that maybe the Lord would use your pain to remind you to pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ who are part of a greater body, that the Lord would strengthen them. There's a book I read this summer, and a young man came up to me. He's like, dude, you went on sabbatical and you read a book about killing Christians? That's dark. I read other books too, okay? But there's a book by Tom Doyle called Killing Christians, and it's only a couple of years old, and it's very recent research about the expansion of the body of Christ in all the places that, if you're honest, you probably don't ever want to visit them. In places like Syria, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, and this guy has had firsthand storytelling testimonies about people who are radically coming to Jesus and becoming a part of our body, brothers and sisters, and who are making incredible commitments of faith. And I want to encourage you to read books like this. It's good for your soul. You hear the pain a little bit differently. And there are people who, in our context, if you will slow down and you will listen and you will see value in the body of Christ like you've never seen before. And it's really beautiful. And the text tells us that there's unity in what's different about us, and there's mutuality, and that we actually need each other because of the grace of Jesus Christ. And I commend that book to you, Killing Christians by Tom Doyle. It's not as dark as I made it seem first hour. Let's continue in the text here, because I really do want you to have this thought of responding to grace by serving others honestly, with an honest, sober self-assessment, with the one-body mindset, but also to serve well. And here's the other thought I thought. Mindset's a big deal. A lot of the people I bump into are talking about their mindset and their right thinking. And when you hear that, I would love if I could just ruin that for you just a little bit, to tweak it, to go, yeah, a one-body mindset. I'm not making statements about that yet, but I'm just saying, like, allow that to kind of trigger for you, like, yeah, we're part of a body of Christ locally and globally that God is working in. And let's serve well. Verses 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Again, you just can't help but hear grace, grace, grace. Different gifts according to the grace that's been given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach, etc. Encouraging, giving, leading, showing mercy. Friends, this is hard work, but it is wonderful work. When you know how God has gifted you and you feel his pleasure and you see the body of Christ being strengthened by you exercising your gifts, it's amazing what God is doing. And I just want to step through a few of these words, help you see it a little more clearly. If it's prophesying according to your faith, again, I think that's where that measuring stick of our faith becomes really important. What is the faith that's been handed down to us through the generations that the church affirms that it's true to the scriptures of God? If that is your prophetic gifting, then prophesy. And there's got to be an element there somewhere about, you know, there's some foretelling or prediction kind of thing, but it's almost diminished a little bit in some of Paul's writing. It has this idea of speaking clearly and boldly the truth of God's word into a place, even when it's dangerous or hostile or not wanted, but doing it in a way that the Spirit of God is leading you. And I think it's beautiful that there's a little bit of an add on there, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. I shared last hour, I mean, with any of these gifts, they can be a little bit overdone at times. I have some friends who are really good at this, but there's a danger. You experience some joy in, like, speaking the truth, you know? You got them. But don't go around to everybody and whack-a-mole everybody. Let the Spirit of God lead you in accordance with your faith. Where does your faith speak into this? Not just your pride. In serving, The root word there is this diakonia or diakonia. It's where we get the word deacon. Many of us grew up in churches with deacons. We identified them as servants in the church, and it's this idea that you're serving the people of God and their material needs. You're helping the saints. And I love that its root ties back to personal table serving. You're a waiter or waitress in the house of God, often with a lack of status. But when you're being honest about who you are and you're not being arrogant, you don't care. You're just happy to serve. And friends, I think that's where a lot of us are. When you look across the body of Christ, you go, hey, man, I'll show up. I can do that. I've got one quick application. I forgot to share this first hour. There are times when we're trying to grow our communion serving team. If you want to help with something like that, will you just write communion on your response card and drop it off, and we'll contact you. You know, if you're going, man, I think I'm gifted with service and I don't know where I fit, will you just write serving on that contact card, and I'll make it a personal goal to try to connect with you or have somebody connect with you. We want you to have the joy of doing this. In teaching, you know, if you're a teacher, then teach well. I think for a lot of us, we get tied up in the titles there, and the idea is you can take complex ideas, you can make them simple and understandable. Friends, if that's you, bless you. If you have a desire to teach and you want to grow in that area, write that on the response card. Teaching. We want to help you. We want to see you grow in your giftedness. We need you. If you're an encourager, it's again, for those of you who like this stuff, enjoy it. For those who don't, just let it pass over, okay? The Greek word is paraklesis. It's a word that's often used of the Holy Spirit as one who's a comforter. And it's really a combo of three ideas. You're an encourager, an exhorter, so you're speaking this, and you're comforting. Now, that's a lot to think of, so I just like to think of you're someone who urges Christians to live out their faith. If that's you, please keep doing that. It helps us keep going. It strengthens the body when you see it. If you're wondering if that's you and you want to experiment a little bit with some encouragement, let me help you bless others. And especially gentlemen, will you listen to me on this? Because I'm growing in this and I'm seeing some fruit and I want you to experience this too. Will you label your encouragement? I have a friend that yesterday, he led a team of people in service. And I'm reading this text. I'm like, well, I could try it, I guess. And I just sent him a text and I said, hey, yesterday, you did a phenomenal job leading. You made sure everybody was hydrated. You made sure everybody knew exactly what was expected of them. You made sure everybody was having a good time, and you made sure they're having breaks. Way to go. You know how much better that went than, hey, thanks for helping yesterday. Both are good, but one is better. And I want to help you guys experience that. Label your encouragement, guys. And gals, too. But feel a special prompting to ask the guys to do that. Contributing to the needs of others. This idea of giving has a singleness of heart without regret. Guys, this is happening right here in our midst today. In your bulletin, there are ways that you can be generous. What Master's Heart is doing in one of our local neighborhoods, just a couple miles from the church, is phenomenal. Please check it out. Please be generous to them. Be generous in serving. Be generous in bringing clothing. I think they're asking for clothes. Be generous in showing up to help. Let's love these neighbors in Jesus' name and show them that by our love for each other and love for them, there's a God who cares about them. I look at our Stevens ministry and I think about people who have submitted themselves to 40 hours of training so that they can have the privilege of walking next to somebody in life's journey and just loving them and serving them. Our benevolence fund, we do that on purpose because we want to be a people who are generous. This idea of leading, to be diligent in your leading. I love how one commentator said, don't use the office simply as a place to enjoy, but use it as a place to serve. And friends, I see that in our church family. I had so many times when I'll just confess where I was. I was at the air show yesterday. It was awesome. And my buddy was the one leading the team at the gates. And I looked around and I saw people that will never get credit for this stuff or seek credit for it, who go to this church, who love our community, and they were leading with diligence. They're being generous in their leadership, not at the gate, all over. in places nobody cares about. They were just using their position of influence to serve and bless others, and it was awesome. And I bring this up too. We're having the Global Leadership Summit in about 2.5 weeks. Would you pray for us and would you come? I'd love to see a lot of you there because I think we can always grow in how we lead, but we do this as a blessing to the community. This is an application of this. The last gift that's listed there, if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Many of you know when you're caring for the elderly or disabled, you're providing for the poor, you're visiting the sick, it's real easy for that to wear on you. You know, if you've ever cared for a loved one for an extended period of time and these kind of things, it wears you down. And Paul's inviting you to taste and to drink deep of the grace of God that you may do so cheerfully. And we want to walk that road with you. One commentator said it's doing acts of mercy with sunlight in your face. And I already asked her for forgiveness. I said, Judy Posine, when I read this verse, I thought of you. And I gave her a big hug this morning. I said, please forgive me because I'm going to tell everybody that. I'm just so proud of you, and I'm glad that I get to work with you, and y'all can go. I'll go read her story on our website. She's an amazing lady. And as I look out across this sea of faces, I see more of you. It's the sunlight of grace that's in your face, and it's awesome. Thank you. You cheer us on. Friends, we want to love people well. We want to respond to the grace that we've received. We want to be honest about ourselves. We want to serve well. We want to cultivate this one body thinking. And here's what I want to, I was telling Andy earlier, I said, I got to share this because like, how often is it summer here? 2 months? I'm just kidding. It was last week. But in our family, we take all summer, we go swimming as much as we can. And the illustration is going to break down. But here's what's awesome. If you love to swim, when you're in the pool, that is like the best thing in the world, okay? And I want to invite some of you to get in the pool of using your gifts in the body of Christ to strengthen the body, to build us up so that we can be who God has called us to be. They're not gonna know we're Christians by all the things the world tries to form us into. They're gonna know we're Christians by our love for one another and by our pushing back against the mold and saying, no, we're gonna be transformed. We're gonna be different kind of people. And the best place to be if you like swimming is right there in the pool. But for a lot of us, if you're at the swimming pools I go to, you kind of do this, right? Okay, some of you have done this. I do it. It's cold. But once I'm in, it's really fun. And I love it. And some of you guys are doing this. And thank you. Thanks for being in the water, being next to the pool. We're glad you're here. But can I tell you how awesome it is over there when you're swimming in it and you're using your gifts and you're just loving life? It's so much fun. And the illustration is going to break down. But before it does, here's my real fear. Some of you have been hurt by what happens over there. And you've had your season, and you're under the shaded umbrella, and you've got your cold drink, and you're kind of watching what's happening. And when we invite you in, you're like, yeah, that's cool. Been there, done that. Uh-uh. Or maybe you just showed up, and you didn't even know there was a pool to go play in, and you're just kind of hanging out. And you're like, what? There's a pool? What's Jesus? Hey, man, God is inviting you to get in and play. Use your gifts. And if you're this person who's sitting right here this morning, I want to very gently but very appropriately invite you to repentance. I want to invite you. I mean, maybe you got hurt, and I want to invite you to healthy healing. But maybe if you're being honest, you're kind of stuck in the ditch of thinking you're better than you really are, or maybe you're stuck in the ditch of not just being honest about who you really are. And I want to invite you on the road to faith and to a place of just serving God with great joy. It won't be easy, but we need you. And friends, we're all invited to that because of his grace. So I want to invite, Joel's going to come back up. He's going to lead us in song. But before he does, I would like to invite you to stand with me as you're able. And we're going to recite one of these creeds that the church has found helpful through the ages to remember who's a part of the body of Christ anyway. And one of my favorites has become the Apostles' Creed, and I just think it'd be good for us to read together. So I'm going to stand on the floor with you. And we're going to read this creed together. When we say amen, then Joel's going to lead us and bless you. And let's get in this and let's do it together that we might be stronger as a body of Christ. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.